Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On today's call, we have Olga Cavalli, Chuck Gomes, Victoria McKifty, sorry about the pronunciation, Claudio Di Gangi, and from staff we have Rob Hogarth, and we have Gisela Gruber-White, myself. Glenda Sangeri is on but on mute, and apologies today, we have Rafik Damak, Julie Headland, and SS. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Chris. I'm here also.
Who's there? I didn't get the name.
It's Krista.
Oh, sorry about that, Krista.
We didn't hear you joining. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Great. Good morning, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining this. For me, it's the morning. I just sent a revised agenda because I made some mistakes, especially in including a wrong name for one of the podcast leaders. I put Chuck's name and it was Julie. And I added some other comments, and I've been revising all the emails exchanged in the email list this morning. So we should start with point one. Rob, is there any news from the board that you could share with us?
Thank you, Olga. Yeah, I have a number of developments to share with the team. As I promised in one of the previous emails, I'm also going to be making all my best efforts to record action items and otherwise report on this call in Julie's stead. I'm sure that I will only do about half as good a job as she does, but I have the best intentions, so thank you all for your patience. As the first agenda item, what I'd like to do is review a number of significant developments coming out of the Sydney meeting, and then we can talk about what applicability those developments have to the work team's efforts. I think the most significant items that came out of the general discussions that took place in Sydney were initially that the board postponed the seating of the new GNSO council until Seoul. From, I think, a number of folks' perspectives, that was a practical thing that was going to take place, but the board made it official in a board resolution in Seoul. Secondly, the board, through the Structural Improvements Committee, continued the dialogue that it had started some time ago with respect to the stakeholder group proposals by a number of proponents. And the Structural Improvements Committee actually provided those groups with revised charter documents that they were recommending that those groups adopt. And as part of that effort and a number of other efforts, the Structural Improvements Committee recognized that if the community were going to achieve a sole time frame transition to the new GNSO Council, that they would need to move relatively quickly, provide recommendations to the board so that the board could move forward on a number of different decisions by its July 30th board meeting, which is at the end of this month. And in particular, those decisions would include amendments to the bylaws, something that the GNSO Council drafting team has been working on over the past couple of months, and, if possible, approval of the now revised recommended stakeholder group charters in an effort to sort of remove one of the significant gating elements that would then lead to other decisions with respect to constituencies, with respect to operational rules. And when I say constituencies, that would be new constituencies as well as existing constituency evaluations. So those significant developments then flowed into two public comment forums that the board instructed the staff to open on subsequent to the Sydney meeting, which were opened at the end of June 30th. Those two public comment forums focused on, one, the potential bylaw amendments, which created a 30-day public comment period that was scheduled and is scheduled to go through July 29th, and secondly, a public comment forum period, which essentially listed and provided copies of the Structural Improvements Committee's recommendations with respect to the stakeholder group charters. And that was a comment period that will be extending through the end, but until the third week of July. Right now it's officially the 21st of July, but that's probably going to slide a day or so because a couple of the groups, one in particular, the registries, are working on comments to the SIC comments on their proposed stakeholder group charter. And so those will probably come in a day later. So,
Rob, just one clarification on that. It's not actually just going to be comments. We plan to submit a revised charter in response to the SIC recommendations.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. I appreciate that. Now, the fact that these public comment forum periods are now in place, I think, provides some additional fodder for this group. I don't think any of these actions change the overall charter and expectation of the work of this work team, but does have some impact. And that's in a couple of ways. One, we now have direct public guidance from the Structural Improvements Committee on some of the general elements and approaches that they believe are necessary to make with respect to the stakeholder groups. Two, it reflects a somewhat bifurcated approach, at least as far as the Structural Improvements Committee is concerned, with respect to its recommendations to the full board, in which the Structural Improvements Committee has made a distinction between contracted parties in the contracted party house and non-contracted parties, non-contracted party house. And the reason for that is, or the effect of that is, that the contracted parties will essentially be stakeholder groups. The entities within that party house will be stakeholder groups, in which the discussions were in Sydney that the lowest common denominator or structure within those houses was, in the sixth view, the stakeholder groups, not constituencies. That view is contrasted with the six continued efforts with respect to the non-contracted party house to recognize the need for constituency groups that would make up the stakeholder groups. So we have a somewhat bifurcated approach here, in which the contracted party house will have two stakeholder group charters and is unlikely, again, based on the recommendations of the Structural Improvements Committee, to have, you know, formal constituency structures as the fundamental element of those houses. But on the non-contracted party side, there will be stakeholder groups, the non-commercial stakeholders group, as well as the commercial stakeholders group, and at least for the time being, those structures will be populated by constituencies in many respects, it would appear, as they exist today. And so, you know, the early discussions, I think, of this work team to recognize that you would be talking not only about constituencies but about stakeholder groups was somewhat prescient in that regard. The other element of that, and I mentioned this yesterday on the GNSO Council call, is that in the context of the stakeholder group charter review, SIC members have asked the staff to provide some thoughts with respect to potentially adding some additional charter elements that would help them flesh out the general bylaw principles of transparency, openness, fairness, and representativeness. And we're right now sort of working through what that input might look like in hopes of providing some input to the Structural Improvements Committee early next week. And my hope and expectation is that we'll be able to share that work product effort with the community in the form of comments in that forum, and at the very least in terms of sharing that with members of the council and this work team, so that you all would have the benefit of that thought process in your work and deliberations. Now, in terms of a final wrap-up of this, and it may be worth, Olga, some discussion among this team, sort of what are the impact of these developments on this work team's agenda and the timing of your work? At one level, I think in the original timetable when this work team and others were formed, there was an initial expectation that we'd have a new council in place already, you know, that would have taken place by the Sydney meeting. So in some respects, that timetable has, you know, been pushed out a four-month period. But that's somewhat balanced by the fact that the SIC is moving forward, has provided some community input and advice with respect to the stakeholder group charters, and at least is discussing and may likely have some sort of placeholders with respect to some of the factors that this group may be discussing, and it might help jumpstart or push forward some of your deliberations with respect to what some guidance might look like, at least initially, with respect to things like, well, what sort of meeting expectations are there that a constituency or stakeholder group should have in terms of transparency or reporting? What does that mean about membership lists, about reporting on finances, about reporting on decision-making? So there's, you know, I think some more general community discussions that will take place in that regard that may impact and contribute to your decisions. I think as it relates to the overall work product of this work team, what it does is it just provides an extra layer of input and potential advice, because I think even under the original structure there was some expectation that there would be some placeholders, but ultimately this work team is making the recommendations that will go forward throughout the operations and implementation of the GNSO improvements process. So I think that this work team's efforts are going to be even more valuable and important in terms of contributing to that effort.
Thank you very much, Rob.
I'll take any questions, sure. Olga. Or, you know.
Hi, Olga. Good morning. This is Tony Harris. Sorry, I'm a few minutes late.
Tony, good morning. Sorry, Rob, I interrupted you. I just thought that you had finished.
Yes, no, you were correct, Olga. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think that what you have told us is extremely important for this working team, and I really appreciate this all this information. I would ask you another favor, if you could just please summarize all these issues very briefly and could share it with within our list. All the questions that were coming to my mind as you were speaking were already answered by you at the end of your speech. I have only one, perhaps, question about the time frame for our work. When we started in Mexico, we thought that we had something like 6 months ahead to do our work. Is this changing? Should we expect having more time, facing the fact that the new GNSO will be seated in Seoul, or we should still focus on and think that we still have 3 months ahead to do our job? It's how do you see this situation? And also considering all this community input that we will have from the open forum.
I don't, and I'll let the chair of the operations steering committee sort of correct or clarify anything I'm about to say. My general sense is that it doesn't change your timetable. It just changes sort of the community view and focus on your work. I think there was a recognition that the work of this work team would be much longer term and have an impact on the ongoing work of the GNSO broadly, including the constituency stakeholder groups. If we had followed the original timetable, a lot of that preliminary work would already be done. But the way that the GNSO Council had structured these work teams was a recognition that should the teams come up with additional recommendations, that those would be cranked into additional operational rules or requirements or additional bylaw amendments. Consistent with the approach here, this team makes the recommendations to the council, which then are ultimately reviewed and made to the board. So I don't think it appreciably changes that time frame. In terms of your optimism about and my optimism about public comments, at this point we only have one comment so far on the bylaw amendments area. We don't have any comments yet in the stakeholder group charters. So, you know, I think the jury's still out in terms of how robust the comments will be in that area. And I think you guys still need to look at yourselves as the community experts and real keepers of those keys, because in the significant flow of other work and other things that people are focusing on, this team is the one that's really focused on those efforts, and I think we'll be focused on them over the longer term. The one last caveat that I just want to throw in is that if my recollection is correct, the steering committees and the work team charters end at the annual meeting, but they're subject to renewal. And so I think that'll be a judgment that the overall council will make in terms of progress and what's happened. And I think if anything's been clear over the last 6 months or so in this process, is that any predictions about timing are not tremendously worthwhile, because they constantly get moved down.
Thank you, Rob. Any questions to Rob?
Yeah, I have a question. It's Victoria speaking.
Who else wants to be in the queue? Go ahead, Victoria.
Rob, thank you very much. It's really, really helpful, and it's sometimes it's difficult to understand the implications of some of these things. So I really appreciate you taking the time to just walk us through it like that. I guess my questions are, the IPC, J. Scott Evans had shared with interested parties an exchange that you'd had with him, talking about possibly a two-stage process, which kind of follows on from your comments now about perhaps our work being in the longer term. And I think you were just sort of noting at that earlier point a possibility of a two-stage process in which the existing charters are reconfirmed either later this month or next month when the board gets to the stakeholder charters, and perhaps our changes have to be looked at down the track. And I just want to be quite clear about that, because if this group has an option to kind of speed up its work when it, you know, and then have it considered in that process when it may be of most use, as opposed to, you know, sort of accepting that there's no urgency and realizing that, you know, the work may or may not ever become, you know, be sort of reverted to and things revisited. I mean, I think we really need to just look at that squarely on the chin.
I think that's an excellent point, because I think that in any of this, the earlier input is provided, the better, because it just helps, I think, make the process more efficient. If I recall correctly what I noted to Jay Scott, it was that in the ideal case, there would be a dovetailing of the work of this group and some of the broader community work, and that might ultimately forestall the need for a two-step process. Yep. For those of you who didn't have the benefit of my correspondence with Jay Scott, his question sort of focused on, hey, Rob, what else is happening with respect to the constituency renewal effort? And as I explained to him, you know, from the board's perspective, certainly the Structural Improvements Committee, I think the general view was that they had to make decisions first with respect to the stakeholder groups that were subsequently then going to drive discussions and decisions about the constituencies. And that, again, the stakeholder group charter effort was a real gating element of the GNSO improvements effort. And that once that was completed, and the board, you know, appropriately sort of took its focus and priorities away from that, it would then, you know, change its perspective and start looking at evaluating the existing constituency charters, and then subsequent to that, potentially looking at how that applied to new constituency petitions. There are currently four, but there may be others in the future. And I think that general approach from the board has been confirmed, particularly because as we see the evolution here, there are unlikely to be, at least in a formal sense, you know, connected with GNSO council reps and the rest, constituencies in the contracted party house. And so in many respects, the board has saved itself and, you know, significant parts of the community, the work in then developing those charters that would not have been utilized. So I think that, yeah, what we'll be looking at is at least by the end of this month, there will be significant discussions at the board meeting. I don't know if there will be ultimately a conclusion this month or whether that will take place next month. I think the goal is for it to be this month, and if so, then that just moves up potentially the discussions of the constituency groups. Now, just one last observation there while I'm thinking about it, and that is when I mentioned the real push that both the board and the council wanted to make with respect to the July 30th deadline, that was a product of counting back from Seoul and trying to identify what needs to happen by when. And one of the critical elements of providing representatives and council members at the annual meeting in Seoul is, you know, having all the pieces fall into place. In other words, you have to have bylaws so you can create the stakeholders so they can have the appropriate discussions to nominate and elect representatives. Moreover, very early in the process, there was some sense that those names had to be provided by early September because of certain requirements with respect to travel budgets and providing names, getting people visas for Korea. I spoke with members of our travel team in Sydney and was able to work with them and get some sliding of those dates. So as I explained to the chair of the GNSO Council, Avery, that, you know, that deadline could potentially slide, and so we might have some additional time for the board to make its decisions. I think at this point the desire is to continue to move forward, not take any breathers in terms of trying to get these very important issues resolved, because I think at every stage of the process, the board has recognized that when they think they've handled the 10 issues, they then realize there's 15 or 20. So again, I think the drive is going to continue to be, and the hope is that a lot of this will be concluded by the end of this month, and then we'll have a clearer picture of some of the time frames. But in general, I think that this work team should continue to press forward. I think you've all gotten a tremendous amount of traction over the last 4 to 6 weeks. And, you know, if some of the subtask teams think that things are ready for prime time, the earlier you guys get that out, the better. If I can use an example of the operations, of the GNSO operations work team, they have some things that aren't completely baked and have decided, with the appropriate caveats, to still publish them to the general community so that folks can see the benefit of some of their thought processes and work. And they do that even with the understanding that they may not be adopted or endorsed, but, you know, in the interest of socializing and potentially getting more feedback, they're pressing forward anyway. And so that may be a strategy that you all want to employ over the next month or so as well.
Olga, could I add a comment to something that Rob said?
Sure, please. Chuck, go ahead.
With regard to the contracted party house, and the SIC's recommendation to not have board-approved constituencies, I'd like everyone to understand that that does not mean that groups like, for example, the city's TLDs could not still have their own charter and function as a somewhat independent group. Really, the only thing that changes is that instead of having constituencies in the registrar stakeholder group and the registry stakeholder group that are officially approved by the board, there could still be interest groups within those two stakeholder groups that could function independently, organize themselves, and kind of be a block of interest within whichever stakeholder group applied. So I just want everybody to know that it's not quite as drastic a change as everybody thinks. There's still the possibility of interest groups. They're going to be called interest groups instead of constituencies, and they won't require board approval like constituencies will in the other house. But in practical reality, it can function very similarly.
Thank you very much.
I have a comment,
Jack.
To Olga.
Who was? I couldn't hear. Who wants to talk?
Tony, when you can give me a turn, I'd like to make a comment on what was just said.
Chuck, is that okay? Are you done?
Oh, I'm finished, yes.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Tony.
Yes. I think I'm not too sure if I feel comfortable with what was said about, you know, maybe we should put in something half-baked for people to comment on. And basically, I really don't see the need for this huge rush and push that's going on in ICANN. I mean, we're changing the GNSO. The GNSO is just about 80% of participation in ICANN, and it's being reshuffled and redone, and it's something that you have to get that right. I mean, when we talk about new GTLDs, the thing is always, well, let's not rush on this and let's get it right, and it drags on, which is okay. And I think that when we're talking about doing all this work and really getting new charters and new, a new GNSO, which will really have to abide by what's decided in the years to come, I don't see the need to rush like mad to get this done. I think it should be done properly and in due time, and with whatever volunteers can do with this.
Thank you, Tony. Any other comments?
Just a follow-up to Tony's.
Go ahead, Chuck. Yeah.
You're right, Tony, and I think in cases where more time is needed, that's expected. There's never been the anticipation, as I understand it, that all of the GNSO improvement efforts have to be done by the time the new GNSO Council with both houses is seated in October. So if time is needed beyond October for our group, for example, in the work we're doing, I don't see that as a big hurdle. Obviously, it's nice if a lot of it can be done, but it's not a prerequisite. The only thing that's really a prerequisite is that the bylaws changes needed to seat the bicameral house are done with enough time before the meeting in Seoul. Please understand that does not include all bylaws changes that will eventually need to occur. Because some of those relate to the work of work teams, especially with regard to the PDP process and the working group model.
And it's
thank you, Chuck. Any other comment?
Olga, this is Rob. If I can be in the queue.
Yeah.
Wants to be in the queue?
Michael, please.
Oh, Michael. Good morning. Okay, Rob, go ahead.
Thank you. I wanted to note one thing from Chuck and one thing from Tony. Chuck raises an excellent point and shows that he's got much more practice working on early morning calls here on the West Coast than I do. And that is this concept of interest groups. And it may be something, I hesitate to say, that would expand this work team's agenda, but I don't think at the beginning there was, of the work team's effort, there was an anticipation of this category of interest groups. And an interesting question that raises is, sort of how do they ultimately get treated, and is that something that this work team wants to briefly discuss at some point? The reason for that is that, you know, one of the major sub-elements that you guys are discussing is this whole toolkit of services, and some of the discussions that took place in Sydney, and this would even include the city TLD group, was, well, that's great, we may be an interest group, but how does that impact potentially the quote-unquote in-kind services that we might have gotten out of ICANN as a truly, officially blessed constituency? And so I think there will be ongoing elements of that categorization that may have some impact and may be of use for this group to discuss.
And before you go on, Rob, in that regard, I think it's really simple for us to handle. It's not so much adding a new task for us with regard to interest groups, but anything we would decide with regard to constituencies, or most things at least, probably could be applied to interest groups in the same manner.
That's a very good point. Yeah, and I raise it just because whether it's long or short, I think it might be a tick or a checklist that you all want to record in terms of your work. And I knew when it was coming out of my mouth, and Tony called me on it, when I said half-baked, I didn't mean it in the pejorative sense, but just noting that there was a value in providing the community with your thought process before it was completely finalized. And again, that was a decision made by another work team where they thought that that would be a useful process tool for them. That's certainly something that you guys can consider or abandon, but it's a way of getting out and socializing some of your thoughts and ideas.
Let me give the team, Olga, if it's okay, a little bit more detail on that particular item, because the GNSO operations work team met with the OSC in Sydney, and it was a very productive meeting. And what they have some ideas that they have been unable to reach consensus on as a work team. And so they asked the OSC, would it make sense to go out to the community and get some additional feedback on those ideas. And so that's really what they're doing. They're half-baked in the sense that they haven't reached consensus. There's some clarification in terms of what they're going to put out for comments that are going on right now, revising their document. And so they're really looking for feedback from the community on what Rob referred to as half-baked. They're half-baked in the sense that there's no consensus on the work team on it. There's probably more work that needs to be done on the ideas themselves, but they would like broader community feedback to help them in doing their work.
Michael?
Well, actually, I was going to pretty much going back a few paragraphs for what Chuck was saying. In terms of the interest groups, I was actually going to pretty much say the same thing. I agree with him. The interest groups are pretty much the same thing as constituencies. Short, one, you don't have to worry about the voting structure or any comments on fairness or structural elements to that voting structure, because that's already described at the membership level of the stakeholder groups. So it's redundant, and it's not required within the actual group. The other thing that you remove the actual overt approval process, and again, it basically becomes kind of, if you will, constituency light. So pretty much, if we come up with 15 recommendations around a constituency, we may be peeling back four of them because they're no longer applicable. And so I don't really see it as a great deal more work. But actually, back to Tony's comments about timelines, I'm always a person, having done a lot of project management in my career, I'm always a person that really believes you have to set a date to get work accomplished. Without a deadline, artificial or otherwise, work just doesn't progress. People need milestones to work against. And so I do believe it's important that we set a schedule and we work very hard to stick to the schedule. However, having said that, I also believe in assessment at each milestone. And if we hit a milestone and we assess that we are not accomplishing our intended goals for that milestone due to what's going on in other areas or lack of progress or jumps in progress or whatever, we need to be prepared to reconsider our schedule if we need to. And I would rather do that than have a product, put out a product that doesn't reach the intended goals we stated.
Thank you, Michael. Any other comments? Any other ones to be with you?
Claudia, I had a question.
Claudia, go ahead.
So I guess what I was trying to understand, and Rob, maybe you could assist a little bit, is that will the current constituencies that exist in the contracted party house, it sounds like they'll continue to exist. And so you'll have interest groups and you'll also have, and I guess those constituencies won't formally be part of the stakeholder group, and they might exist sort of outside the stakeholder group structure. But I'm just trying to understand, are we moving towards a scenario where there's going to be constituencies that exist outside of the stakeholder group structure?
That's a good question. I think you'd have to talk with the registries or registrars about that. My sense was, based on their submissions, and this was a similar, I think, strategy that the NCUC was looking at originally, and that is, I think there was a view that having both a constituency structure and a stakeholder group structure was duplicative if you, if you carried them to their logical conclusion. And so in moving forward now with the Structural Improvements Committee's recommendations and advice, and if the board, you know, adopts those, I think that you would likely simply just have a registry stakeholder group or a registrar stakeholder group, and it would be unlikely that those communities would maintain two structures. And Chuck, I'll let you speak to that in a more broad term since you're directly involved.
You said it pretty well, Rob. There probably won't be a need for that, Claudio. For example, the existing registry constituency to continue to exist within elements of the constituency, though, if they wanted to, for example, the sponsored TLDs, they could, if they wanted to, form an interest group. But it's probably very unlikely. Maybe it's almost determined that there will not be a registry's constituency once the stakeholder group charter is approved and the stakeholder group starts functioning.
Okay.
I can't speak for the registrars. I can let maybe Krista can.
Can I just add a comment in the queue?
It's Krista?
Victoria.
Oh, Victoria. Okay, Victoria, go ahead.
I mean, I think that's just a really interesting, these are all extremely interesting developments, and I just wanted to make a very brief comment because I sort of think it goes to the heart of the work of this team. I mean, the possibility of duplicative structures, you know, i.e. a whole layer of sort of procedure and rules at the old constituency level and then a new layer coming in, of course, at the stakeholder group level, as I see it from reading the Board Governance Committee's report, which we're working from, was exactly why they wanted to see more standardisation at the constituency level. So I just think it's really interesting the way these developments are panning out, and I think it kind of reiterates their message, actually. But anyway, it was just a comment.
Thank you, Victoria. Any other comment? Someone else wants to be in the queue?
This is Rob with one.
Yeah, Tony Harris.
Rob, go ahead, and then Tony.
I would just note that it presents an extra layer of further organizational analysis or structural analysis as well. How do you deal with a new policy development process when you now have constituency groups and stakeholder groups? And again, it may not be a huge element, but I don't think we've fully fleshed that out in view of the fact that the six recommendations are only, you know, 2 or 3 weeks old. And that is sort of now we have potentially a structure where stakeholder groups exist at the same time as constituencies. And in some respects and for some processes, they will actually be operating at the same level. And so that creates just some other organizational process details that, you know, just add another layer to these discussions.
Thank you, Rob. Tony?
I just want to comment on this question of the existence or not in the future of constituencies. at least from the perspective of our constituency, the ISPs, there's never been any doubt or discussion about us ceasing to be represented in some form as a constituency or whatever develops in the future, because a lot of our members don't come to meetings, and, we don't really see how you can represent an industry perspective in ICANN unless you have some sort of structure, whether it be intermediary or top level or whatever it is, but we have to be able to channel and focus our activities within the ICANN structure.
Thank you, Tony. Any other comments?
Yeah, Olga, this is Claudia. I just have one more question I didn't get a chance to ask earlier.
Please go ahead, Claudia.
I'm just trying to understand from the SIC's perspective, what is sort of their motivation in creating this new entity called the interest group, and how that changes things within that stakeholder group as opposed to constituencies existing. What's the advantage of? I guess I'm just not seeing the advantage of the interest group as opposed to the that they could self-select and there's no need to get a board approval for the interest group. I'm just seeing an inconsistency between both sides, and I'm just not, it's not clear to me what the justification is for that.
Could I share my opinion, Olga?
Sure, Chad, go ahead.
I think the difference goes back to a fundamental definition of what a member is within the stakeholder groups on the user side and on the contracted party house. And it has to do with the fact that to be in either the registrar stakeholder group or the registry stakeholder group, you have to have a contract with ICANN. It's not nearly so clearly defined on the non-contracted party house, as you well know, and the concept of constituencies fits, especially formal constituencies, to ensure full representation and so forth of various interest groups that are called constituencies on that side is different there. What we found out on the contracted party house is if you have to have a contract with ICANN, okay, there's still the value of subgroups within that stakeholder group, organizing and increasing their processes, like Tony said, of representing people who don't go to meetings and so forth. But when we really got down to it to try and figure out, okay, what's going to be the difference between our constituency, in the case of the existing registry constituency, and the stakeholder group, it was almost all duplication. I don't think that's quite the same case on the non-contracted party house. The ISPs, for example, as Tony mentioned, are a distinct group and have distinct interests. The IPC is the same and so forth. As we struggled with how to do a constituency and a stakeholder group, we really found that we were going to end up with a tremendous amount of duplication on the contracted side. So I don't know if that helps or not, but the key difference is the fact that membership is very precisely defined on the contracted side by its very name. You have to have a contract with ICANN to provide either registry or registrar services to be a member.
Thank you. That was helpful, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck. Who else wants to be in the queue?
This is Krista. I wanted to jump.
Please, go ahead.
Okay, so let me apologize first because I'm in a sort of a public place. I'm traveling this week, and so it's noisy in the background. I apologize. And from the registrar constituency perspective and the way I sort of see it too, I mean, I would agree. I think we came to the same conclusion that a stakeholder group and a constituency, what we call a constituency today and we're going to call a stakeholder group tomorrow, was duplicative. But when it comes to the interest groups, just because you're a registrar doesn't mean that you have the commonality of being an accredited registrar, but we have different types of registrars, ones that have retail business models, ones that have corporate services models. And with coming of new GTLDs, I don't know what's going to happen with, like, your dot brands, and those might be a different subset of registrars, and so they do have different interests. And the stakeholder group itself is going to have its own sort of agenda, but the people within it might have different different focus or different interests within that agenda. And so, at least from my perspective, we view it as an opportunity for them to sort of, people with common interests within a stakeholder group to get together and then voice that opinion, and then the stakeholder group as a whole can then deliver, its position or whatever based on the various interest groups from within it.
Thank you very much, Krista. Any other comment? Okay. I think this all the information that Rob provided is extremely helpful for our work, and all the exchange of comments and ideas shared in this conference call, although it took some time of our agenda, I think it's extremely helpful. So, Rob, I would kindly ask you if you could perhaps summarize, especially the first part of your talk, especially for those who are not in the call, and that will review what is changed in the list and the MP3 recording, and if you could also share when you have this information that you told that you are preparing about transparency, openness, and representativeness in stakeholder groups and constituency that staff is preparing. If you could share with our group, it could be, I think, very helpful. For us, for the team, we have to have all these new concepts and ideas in mind. I just first heard about the interest group in a conference call we had last Monday, chaired by Victoria. Michael explained the concept, and I really didn't, I was not aware of it. Maybe I missed some information in the GNSO, or I didn't have the time to review it. So I think it's important to have all these new concepts in mind for our work. We stick to our original agenda for our time frame and review also all the documents that are public for comments. We have an agenda. I'm not sure if we have the time. We have 10 minutes left for our call. I can stay a little bit longer, or we can finish in 10 minutes and see how much of our agenda can we review, and perhaps the rest can we do it in our list. Any comments about staying a little bit more time or just having our 10 minutes for the rest of the agenda and try to achieve what we can do and then the rest in the list? Any comments?
I cannot stay longer, but if others can, feel free to continue.
This is Krista. I can't stay longer either.
Okay, if everyone's agree, we would try to maybe in 15 more minutes after the hour or 20 more minutes, I think we will be finished. So if we can do that, that would be better. So we don't have items in our agenda that could not be reviewed. So can we move forward to our point two? What I suggested here is to review with the subtask leaders the what has been done during these 2 weeks. I think many things have happened and many work has been done in from different perspectives and from different subtask leaders and groups. Unfortunately, subtask one leader SS could not join the call. What I would like to write here is a comment made by Claudio in our list about possible overlapping in between subtask one and subtask two. In this sense, I would encourage Claudio SS and the other members of subtask one team to exchange some ideas with Victoria and the other team, maybe to divide what ideas and exchange ideas, not to overlap and do the same work, because, for example, SS made a very interesting analysis of some charters of constituencies, and he was talking about elections and policy issues. And also, we already have been reviewing that with Victoria, for example, in the conference calls we had last Monday. So I would suggest if SM Victoria could perhaps exchange some ideas about avoiding overlapping. Is that okay, Victoria?
Yeah, that's fine. In fact, we've already had an exchange about it, but we will try and accommodate everyone's concerns there. And
great. And Victoria, if you could be so kind to just summarize very briefly the outcomes of the conference call you led last Monday.
Sure. I mean, where we're at is that we have a deadline of today, actually. And essentially, what we've done is that we've divided up. Everyone's got a particular task, which is to review organizations, other bottom-up and other sort of international organizations, and find some sort of models, templates, precedents. We propose to sort of add that material in together with our best and worst sort of ICANN practice exercise so that we'll be able to look at participation rules and operating procedures and perhaps then make a recommendation. So the deadline for everyone to come back is today. It's likely in effect to be Monday morning. But I'm then proposing to collate all that information, and I've already started a draft report, which would be the basis of some draft recommendations for the work team to move on to next. There are issues of principle that will have to be discussed, but I think they're going to be much easier to look at once we've actually got something in front of us in terms of a draft. So in terms of our work plan, we're doing exercise number 5, which is collect input on available models for operating procedures from all sources, etc. And once we've done that and I've circulated a draft report, we will go back to items 1 to 4, which are to consider some of the bigger issues. So that's where we're at the moment.
Great. Thank you, Victoria.
I'll be looking at trying to do that next week. So I'll be trying to collate and draft the report and circulate it next week.
Thank you, Victoria. Some of us in the subtask work team, in this sub work team, had some things to do. I myself promised to give some information from our local RAR. I already requested them, but I had no feedback. So my apologies for not being able to provide this on time, which was today. But I think during next week I'll be able to share this information with our sub team.
Great.
So thank you very much. I think it was a very good conference call last Monday, and thank you for your leadership in that. And I hope to contribute with what I committed with. Any comments, any questions to Victoria about what is going on with Subtask 2 sub-work team? Okay, Subtask 3, Krista has sent a very interesting document. She sent an update of the work plan, which I successfully uploaded in the wiki today, this morning. I thought that I could not make it, but I did. So it's already uploaded, and as far as I know, and because Krista told me, and also Tony told me, you had very interesting meetings in Sydney with constituency representatives and with ICANN staff related with this issue. So perhaps you, Krista, could share with us briefly your comments. And also I would like to also thank Krista for sending the constituency analysis document with comments in relation with the registrar constituency. So thank you very much for that, and I will comment a little bit later about it.
Okay, no problem. And just actually on that last piece, I did send comments with updates from the registrar constituency on the constituency analysis document, and I'll be sending, I don't think I'll get it done today, but the same for the stakeholder group analysis document. Tony and I actually were able to spend some time in Sydney meeting with, I've actually met with each constituency except the NCUC. I had some problems getting together with them, but I'm actually exchanging emails and have a call scheduled for next week to talk to someone from there about this whole idea of a database of constituency members, et cetera. But I think mine and Tony's experience has been that people are generally open to it. The biggest concern is privacy and just really making sure that the database, if one is created, has different measures in it and has a granularity to it so that people can sort of decide who can see what kind of information about them. And Julie was actually able to get us together with Ken Bauer from ICANN IT. And, you know, I don't, Tony, I think you'd probably agree with me, but, you know, Ken's approach was refreshing, and his feedback was good, because it was sort of like, you know, you guys can do whatever you want. You just need to, you know, whoever's going to design this can do whatever they want. We just need to know what the requirements are. And he offered up some great suggestions. And so, I mean, overall, I think, you know, we've got the majority of what we need here, with the exception of talking to the NCUC. And I guess one of the things I just want to clarify, I mean, I feel like once we've sort of filled in all of the boxes on subtask 1.3, the next step, and again, you know, this is my lack of experience in working on these teams, but the next step is for us to put together a recommendation based on what we found. Is that correct, or am I missing something?
It's not correct, and this is something that we still need to talk among us. Is once we have gone through the analysis of charters, and you have all done all these meetings, and you have all the information, we should share some ideas about how to start preparing our outcome documents. So we still have some time. We have to think about it and be creative in finding the way to put this together in a very clear way, which is easy to go through and read and understand. But if you have some ideas, just please share with us. I have shared some in the list. Also, Julie had, but we are still in that process, Krista, so you're right. We should start producing some outcomes. Yes.
Hi, this is Tony. Can I comment on and add to what Krista just said?
Go ahead, Tony, please.
Yes, Krista has an excellent point there. But I think basically one way we could possibly go about this would be we have the okay now from all the constituencies except the NCUC, apparently, on submitting the information on who the members are and so forth. Perhaps once we have the 100% of that taken care of, the next logical step might be for the ICANN staff to say, well, we would suggest presenting this database in this format and providing this type of information, this level of information, and does this look all right? And then we could look at that, and it would also be a basis for public comment probably also.
I think it's a very good idea. Rob, are you? Did you get what Tony was saying? Do you think that's feasible?
I do, and I think it's a neat approach too, because it's, you know, some level of prototyping. I think it's a good way to conduct business. You guys give us the general guidance. We, you know, suggest ways to implement it, and then you provide feedback.
Yes, and one comment also, and maybe I am making some mistake, but this is an analysis that includes the existing constituencies. And I think that we should also provide some guidelines of how to proceed with new stakeholder groups, interest groups, and constituencies that will be formed and defined in the future GNSO structure. And this is where I think that perhaps we should establish some guidelines. I was referring to that before.
Olga?
Yes.
Yeah, Tony? You're quite right. And actually, I think the database is sort of focused on the concept of participants in the stakeholder group more than constituencies. So that would also include, as you say, new people or new participants. Okay.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Who wants to talk, Krista?
No, I was just going to add to sort of your comment briefly. Just that, I mean, I think the whole point is to add new people, whether they're becoming new as a part of not the whole point, but one of the points of the database. You know, you would add new people, whether they're becoming part of an existing stakeholder group, constituency, or a new one. So, yeah, absolutely, that should be inclusive or included.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Krista and Tony. I think it has been a great job that you have done, and we have made great improvements. There is some music going on and off. I don't know who's has the music.
Well, they could change the station and put on some salsa. That would be...
That would be nice. Okay. Subtask 4, Julie is not on the call, and I'm not sure if Chuck is still on the call.
I am, but I'm going to have to jump off. Let me be real quick and see if anybody has any questions. Okay, Olga?
I think there is not much to say. We are waiting for feedback for the letter, so I think that's okay.
I do have one comment, Olga.
Okay, go ahead.
First of all, there are two comments. The deadline for input from constituencies and others would be the end of July so that's an ongoing process. I haven't seen any feedback yet, but that just may mean that the list of proposed services is pretty satisfactory. We'll have to decide on that. But one last comment before I jump off, and that is that I think the possibility of this toolkit of services applying to interest groups is one that it'll be important for us to pursue, and we'll just have to decide, how does an interest group qualify for those services compared to a constituency in the other house? And so forth, but that's an issue. Those are issues we can talk about further as we move forward. Any questions before I jump off? Okay, thanks everybody. I've got to run.
Thank you, Chuck.
Meeting.
Thank you very much for joining us. Okay, so can we move to item number 3 of our agenda? We still need some exchange of ideas about best and best practices. I was reviewing the document that Krista sent with the registrar comments. I think it's very interesting. We also have the same document revised by Victoria, and we have some other versions. Unfortunately, Julie is not with us today because she has been updating all this information in the wiki, and Victoria made a very excellent suggestion today in the list, saying that she could perhaps work in merging all these documents. It's a great idea, Victoria. Perhaps you could work with someone else in this venture. I could help you.
Yeah, why don't I? Well, I'm very happy to work with Julie, who's probably the best person for
Yeah, of course. Julie should be the one from staff, but I could be happy to cooperate with you and Julie.
Okay, well, that'd be great. Well, we could we can draft in rounds then. I'm happy to. Why don't we can deal with that on the list, the logistics? But in principle, I think that's a great idea.
Okay, I think it's a great idea. And if someone else wants to help, it's welcome. Any comments? And finally, I would like to clarify some comments that we made in our meeting in Sydney, face-to-face meeting in Sydney, that Victoria attended remotely and SS attended not all the time.
I didn't attend.
Oh, you didn't. I'm so sorry. But you heard the MP3 recording and you made your comments. This is why I was confused. My apologies. Victoria, you made some questions about some private emails we have been exchanging, not through the list, but personally to the different members of the working team. The purpose of this emails was at a certain moment of the past, maybe 1 month and a half ago or 2 months ago, was to summarize the activity in the list. It's not that we are not being transparent or anything. It's what we wanted. This was an idea we had with Michael, was to summarize the activity in the list. Sometimes, and it happens to me, not in this working team because I'm leading and I'm following it daily and working on this working team very much, but sometimes I'm not leading and I'm participating and I had a lot to do and I cannot follow the daily updates of the list. So the purpose of those emails sent before was to summarize what was done, the approval of the charter, the main issues that were decided, the work plans that should be submitted, and all that. That was the only purpose of this email sent. And the idea that we had in Sydney of having a private call with you or with SS and with the other team leaders was just to this to update of what has been done. It's nothing wrong that that sometimes we have many things to do and we are volunteering time and it's difficult to follow up. Just that. I just wanted to clarify this with you and perhaps here if you have any comments or any ideas of how to improve this.
Okay, thanks very much, Olga. Look, just for the rest of the team, I mean, I guess that my concern, and, you know, things can be very different. I just read the transcript afterwards, so I wasn't at the meeting. And, you know, perhaps, you know, when you're not there in person and you're not hearing people's voices, you can get the wrong impression. And I took the impression from the transcript that there had been a concern that the team leaders, perhaps myself and perhaps other one or two others, had not been performing, and there was it looks from the transcript as there was a suggestion that attempts to follow this up with us had not been successful, and it perhaps was not the impression that was intended, but my comments were really, you know, I sort of felt that this hadn't been necessarily handled as delicately as it, or diplomatically as it might have been, because I didn't get an opportunity to make, I wasn't at the meeting and I wasn't able to, I wasn't asked to submit a status report to the meeting. And I hadn't received any emails about subtask two and sort of suggesting that things needed to be done that hadn't been done or what have you. So, I mean, I think we can leave it there, and I was just wanting to, you know, clarify that position. Thank you, Olga, for doing so.
No, and my apologies if I just said something that was inconvenient. It was not meant to mean that. It's just sometimes my English is limited, so maybe I made some mistakes. Okay, any other business?
Olga, it's Krista. I do have to go. So thank you, everyone.
No, thank you very much. Thank you for joining, and sure. I think we are done. Any other comments? Okay, thank you very much for the meeting, and we keep working on our list. Thank you for joining today.
Okay, thanks, Olga.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Olga. Bye.
Bye.